Welcome to the Leading Second Podcast, a space to help church leaders thrive in the second chair. The Leading Second Podcast releases every Thursday morning, so hit subscribe and share this with your team. Now let's jump into another episode for all of us who lead from the middle. Hello and welcome to the Leading Second Podcast. I'm so glad you've joined us. It's our honor to have you in this space today. If you lead from the middle in any capacity, Leading Second is for you. If you find this episode helpful, I want to encourage you to visit leadingsecond.com/podcast because you can download the episode guide we've created for today's episode. Feel free to use that with your team if it would be of value. And we'd love it if you'd help us make some noise about the podcast by sharing it with your team, posting it on social media, or leaving ratings and reviews. It helps us to share the message and move the ministry forward. Well, we have an incredible episode for you today, so let's jump into the conversation.
All right, well, Pastor Noah Heron, Connor Crumpton, welcome to the Leading Second Podcast. So glad you're here.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks for having us, man.
I say pastor, first of all, because Noah, you've been on our podcast before, but you are now a lead pastor. Come on, somebody.
Hey,
it's crazy. It's crazy. They'll let just about anybody do that, it seems like, these days.
This is the Leading Second Podcast, and for some reason, we're still letting you in, sir. Still here.
I'm honored. Thanks for having us, Ben.
I'm so glad we're talking today. I absolutely love the two of you, and I love what God is doing through you. Noah, maybe just help us with the intros here. Tell us a little bit about Way Church, the church that you planted a little bit ago, and what's God doing right now at the church?
Yes. So we launched Way Church September 10th, 2023, about 6 months ago, and we have seen 164 salvations so far. We meet about a mile from Broadway in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
So we're in a really cool spot. Got a lot of different things happening all around where we're gathering. Just feels like God was already doing something really cool here in Nashville, and we just jumped in and we're getting to be a small part of it. I would say the salvation number is the thing we're most excited about. Besides that, we're seeing a ton of people jump into community. So we launched some small groups here recently. Our first season of small groups, we had 13 of them meeting around the city, and we're looking to try to launch at least 20 over the summer. As well. So it's just, a lot of really fun and exciting things I could talk about, but those are the two that are the freshest and what fire me up the most.
I love it. And, you know, thank you for your obedience to what God has called you to do. As these things usually go, I'm sure you didn't have to do this. I mean, life was certainly full and ministry was going well. And thank you for doing the hard thing and stepping out to plant a new church. I know that God's going to honor that and meet y'all there. So we're excited for you.
Thank you, man.
Connor, tell us about you, my friend. Welcome to the podcast to you. And I love you. You're kind of a day oneer on team at the church. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do at Way Church.
Yeah, so I'm originally from North Texas, where Noah and I kind of planted our families here. I did some ministry in Texas about 10 years ago with Grant Skeldon, a really good friend of ours, and who's in leadership at the church. And after doing that ministry in college, for the last 6 years, I've been in the corporate world. I've been a project manager for a manufacturing company, kind of had the COO mentor me. And that was really where I started to see that I was called to these second chair leadership roles. Like, I stopped seeing it as a launching pad to the first chair, or that every leader is a visionary and things like that. I started to really see a lot of these positions as fitting my skill set and values. And so Grant knew this. And so about 3 years ago, Grant just told Noah was talking to him about planting a church in Nashville. He was like, hey, I think I know a guy who could handle the more operational administrative side of things. And so Grant called me up. You know how a calling goes. You can't really explain it, but it became a piece for our family. And then we moved up here about 3 years ago, and flash to now, we're 6 months in a church, a vibrant church. And we hold a bunch of different roles, Noah and I both right now in like this first season. But if I were to nail down what I do mainly, it'd probably be like the operational responsibilities of our volunteers on a weekly basis, managing communication systems that are going out, and our assimilation processes, getting people on the team and community.
So. I want to jump in right there, Brandon, because he was really nice the way that he put that. He said that Grant said, hey, you should meet Connor. This could work out. What Grant said was, hey, I think that this church thing could work, but you're really bad at a lot of stuff. And this Connor guy is really good at all the stuff you're bad at. And so you should talk to him if you want me to be in on this. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And it's worked out great. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Even better said. Look at that. You know, Connor, you putting it simply, you're putting legs to the vision.
Yeah.
You know, you have seen what's in now your pastor's heart, and you're interpreting that, and you are moving it forward. And that is true blue second chair leadership all day long. So I just love, as a church plant, sometimes your role, Connor, can become something that becomes evident over time. I love that you all started this way. I love that God graced you to start with this relationship, and not presuming where things will even go in the future, but just knowing that you all started with this first chair, second chair dynamic already intact. I just thought it was cool, and I've loved getting to walk with you guys a little bit in this. So that's kind of what brings us to this conversation today. And hey, where I really want to go with this conversation is looking at second chair leadership in a church plant. We often talk to very established leaders on here. I feel like God has graced us with just some of the best voices in the local church in North America on this space, and we're really grateful for that. But many times those are very established environments. So today, I don't know that I've done this. We're just going straight church plant. Like, you're in the gritty first 6 months. You're figuring this thing out. You got an org chart, but you and I both know you guys do a whole bunch of everything around there. You know, like those days is what we want to talk about. And I just felt like someone in our tribe listening to this would find some value in that today. So Pastor Noah, I want to start with you for just a minute. What has your experience been like being in the first chair, you know, the first seat? You were second chair for a lot of years and have served in various capacities. So maybe just catch us up to speed really quickly on what it's like now being on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, I think I weigh decisions a lot more than I used to weigh them. You know, before it was like I would have a thought and it was just a matter of, does my pastor want this or not? And if he does, great, we're going to do it. And if not, we're not going to do it. And then in the role that I was in outside of the local church with evangelism, you know, I just would travel and preach. It was like, do I want to preach on this or not? That was pretty much what my decisions looked like on a day-to-day basis. Now there's so many things that I'm just taking into account when I'm thinking about a yes or a no that I never had to think about before. How does this affect kids? How does this affect families? How does this affect young adults? Yep. So I would say I'm praying a lot more, and I felt like my lack of decisiveness the first couple of months of the church, I kind of was like, is this a confidence thing? And I was kind of second guessing myself around how long it would sometimes take me to make a decision. But now I feel like I'm in a really good place with it. And just like, it's okay to feel the weight of a decision. It's okay to want to make sure that this is what God wants for our church. And so I'd say that is a very noticeable difference in this season. And then I would say the other thing is just when it comes to like, where are we going over the, not just the course of this next sermon series or this next small group season, but like, where do we as a church, where is God calling us 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And what do we need to do today, next month, next quarter to become that group of people. And so I'm just thinking from a longer term perspective than I ever have before.
Yeah. Great. I always love to ask senior pastors, lead pastors in this space about what they're thinking, what their experience is, because for many of us, our pastors probably think of the same thing. And we want to continue to give language and understanding to the first chair. And you know, it's so interesting, Noah, is every single pastor I ever talk to, they always use the word wait. Everybody says that. And I've not pastored a church. I do not truly, you know what that is, but maybe take us one layer into that. What does the wait feel like? You mentioned weighing decisions. So everybody says that. How would you describe the weight that you feel in the first chair now that's different?
Well, I'd say one of the greatest honors of being a pastor is that people trust you on a level that they probably shouldn't trust you with the amount of time you've spent with them. Right. So like you might have had two conversations with a person, but because you're their pastor, they're telling you the deepest, weightiest thing in their life because they trust you to be able to steward that and to pray over that. And so an example might be you might be in a meeting with a group of people and everybody wants to do something a certain way. They don't have the knowledge of how it might affect the person that is really going through something, but you're the only one in that meeting who knows about that situation. And so you're having to maybe lead a group of people through something that seems like it's not a big deal at all. It's just like a simple yes or no, or we should do this or we shouldn't do that. But there are all these implications that you're thinking about emotionally, spiritually. And so I think the weight is wanting to lead people well while also protecting the people who have chosen to open up with you.
I love the way you just described that. Before we get to talking to Connor for a minute, I want to ask you a question about him. So what are some things that Connor has done for you that have been most helpful to you? You're a church planter, you lead pastor now, you've been privileged or graced enough to have a named second chair person early on. So how has he been the most helpful to you in this season?
I think it's hard to just talk about one thing. All the prerequisites Connor does. So he's a solution bringer. He's not just, you know, pointing out the problems and hoping that I'll be the one to solve all of them. He's regularly solving problems at our church. I think that at a church plant in this role, that's an absolute necessity. But it's not just the way that he solves problems. I think what has caused me to trust Connor so much in a lot of ways, Brandon, this is an arranged marriage. So you said it's rare that you launch a church with a one and a two established. That definitely wasn't my plan initially. Grant really urged, hey, you should get to know Connor. And I think for Connor, he was kind of like, I don't know this Noah guy from Adam. And we both sought the Lord, our family sought the Lord, and we felt like, okay, we have peace about this. Let's take a step of faith and let's hope it works. And if it doesn't, God has enough grace for us. We'll figure it out. But that kind of leap of faith, there wasn't a lot of trust there in the beginning. And so what's built that trust and the thing that's been invaluable has been the way that Connor solves problems, the way he talks to people while protecting my honor, while protecting my family's honor. Honor in the last couple of years has been something that I think people take out of context and they have all different types of definitions. I'm not saying that Connor salutes me when I walk in the door or, you know, treats me like I'm someone that I'm not. But what Connor does do is he makes sure that if he is speaking for me, he knows exactly how I would respond. And if he doesn't, he, you know, says something like, I'd love to talk to Pastor Noah about that and we can get back to you. It's just always speaking with the church in mind, speaking with our family in mind, and making sure that he is accurately speaking with us and for us. And there are sometimes when Connor says things exactly how I would say them. And I know that it's not because he's like trying to mimic me. I just truly think that he sought a ton of clarity around why we're doing what we're doing, asking the right questions, and trying to understand like where we're headed as a church. And so he can do those things without me being there all the time.
Beautiful. I love that. Connor, you're up, sir. Tell us about your journey now. Let's flip the coin over. Heads was heads, now it's tails. What's the journey been like for you in the second chair at a church plant?
Yeah. Well, first, I mean, it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. I love the second chair has this visibility and approachability to receive like all the stories and all the wins. So as much as there are some crazy things going on, and I do get to receive a lot of, you know, the issues and stuff that I need to solve problems, I'm the first one to hear about an awesome story or an awesome win. So I am honestly like, I'm filled up weekly with the stories of community that's happening, stories of people who receive salvation. Like, I feel like I might be one of the top people who gets the privilege to see those. And I bring those into Noah and I's Monday mornings a lot. But on the other side of that, probably the most challenging thing in this first 6 month journey is the speed. Coming from the corporate world, we kind of had our quarterly fiscal things where we're very predictable and, we're going at a very different speed that I'm used to. So I'm having to learn to scale, as we scale, I have to learn to scale my focus, my organization skills, our systems at new speeds. Fun problems to have, but that's probably something that I'm thinking about often is, you know, today helps my tomorrow. And I just need to be really good at crafting because tomorrow is a lot bigger than today. It just feels like in this season.
Yeah, my friend, you are not at, you know, Facebook or Apple's headquarters as you see them today. You're in the garage, you know, in Silicon Valley, you know, back in the day, right? Like we're all sitting around the table figuring this sucker out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been wild, but I've learned, Hayden actually, who's a part of your team, he was coaching me up a little bit a couple of weeks ago. And I think he said it doesn't have to be, it's not 80% done, 100% right. Am I doing that right? No. Yeah. We need 100% done, 80% right. Not 80% done, 100% right. And that's been a gift to me because I'm not trying to pursue perfection anymore in this crazy building season. I just got to get things done. And, it's been a while.
Okay, so you knew I was going to want to talk about that with you. That this is, I was going to ask you what you've learned about you, but I feel like in our coaching, and I'm so glad you guys have been open to coaching from day one. It's a rare gift. We don't always get to do it with church plants, but I have found, I think that was a major learning thing we found about you, and maybe put it in your own words as you just started to there, that you had to adjust your style. Yeah. Even along the way to match the moment.
We started Leading Second Build, quite frankly, because I met too many pastors and leaders and teams who felt stuck. Too many who were experiencing tension but didn't have a clear pathway to move forward. I also encountered pastors and churches that needed to scale and needed to go to that next level, but didn't really see the pathway to get there. Through Leading Second Build, it's my great honor to work with lead pastors and executive teams to help discover where they're at, really diagnose it, assess team dynamics, and design a plan to move forward together. My hope at the end of our time working together is that, quite frankly, you would feel unstuck, that you would experience greater alignment and empowerment on your team, that your team would be clear, that they would know what's expected of them and how you're moving forward together, and that your team would be able to scale and rise to the challenge of the great vision that God has given you for your church and for your team.
If you want to find out more, go to leadingsecond.com/build.
So y'all are the experts on some of this language, so you might have to help me out here a little bit, Brandon. But some of the things that y'all taught me is kind of the Les McCowan model of the operator, the processor, visionaries. Right. I definitely identify as that processor who wants to organize things and get them to their ninth iteration of really well and pristine. And that's not the season we are in. We are in... Right. what they call the early struggle. And that type of language has been just really helpful for me to kind of cool my jets. And the limited time margin I have, I'm not working on perfecting this system that we're going to have to scale out of in 3 months. I'm much more privy to now. Like if I see for like a coordinator, the current process works for them, even if I know three or four things that would make it much easier, if it's working for them, I might move on to something else. And so that's been super helpful for me day to day as I try to scale what we're doing here. I'm not trying to go after perfection right now or anything close to that. I'm trying to get it done.
It's so important. I mean, you're in a finishing season. It's you got to end every day that you got the job done, you know, and however you got it done was fine. And it's more about what you did than how you did it, you know, at this stage. And that probably anyone that is high processor like you, you know, it probably makes your skin crawl a little bit, I suppose, but it's the nature of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I wanted to talk to you all about trust for a minute. So Pastor Noah, you mentioned trust a minute ago. You know, people are coming into your church and they don't know you, but they begin to trust you with their lives and with their family. You, the two of you and your teams, you had to develop trust between you. Trust is the currency of every great relationship. So what wins have you had this year in building trust and leading together? And then where have the challenges been for you this year?
I think that the challenges is our relationship is still so new. So there's just, you don't know what you don't know, right? We don't know how different situations are going to be for us until we get into them. And we're very much still in the new situation phase, not just of our church, but of our relationship. I think that the biggest trust building things have been with people. So just watching the way that Connor interacts with people, that was something that Maddie and I prayed for when we were praying for our church, just in general, that the people on our team, they'd be great at what they did, they'd be talented, but they've got to have a heart for people. And I never have seen Connor handle a situation with a person where he didn't treat them with the utmost respect. I think like it's important to differentiate. You guys were just talking about the get it done season, where it's just like, hey, it's not about kind of how you do it, but it's about getting it done. And I think everyone listening to this knows we're talking about like the actual day-to-day task of church work. But when it comes to people, I would say one of Connor's greatest gifts is that he is going to get it right and slow down on the getting it done with when it comes to people. And
very good.
And that has built so much trust, not just with me and Maddie, but with our whole team, you know, because you have to think everybody at our church besides Connor and I right now are volunteers. And so there very easily could be this, well, why does Connor, you know, get paid? We're all putting in tons of work. Attitude could easily creep in. I think one of the reasons it doesn't creep in is because everyone on our team, A, sees how hard Connor works, but B, they're treated with the utmost respect and with a level of intentionality that it, honestly, Connor's a pastor. He's a pastor and has a pastoral heart. And so I think that has given me more trust with Connor than anything. It's like, hey, this dude's talented. He's got a gifting, but you could put him in any room and he's going to reflect the heart of our church better than anybody. And so that is what's built the most trust for me.
That's awesome. Connor, same question to you. What's your pastor done that's built trust with you?
Yeah. One of the things that has really helped, so right now, Noah and I meet every Monday for about 2 hours. And just being in the second chair and knowing my lead pastor is a very busy guy, that builds so much on top of just obviously creating a lot of margin for us to get a lot of stuff out. But even that act alone does a lot for my heart of if there ever is a lie starting to birth that, you know, he doesn't value my opinion or, you know, I doesn't value like my position or anything like that, which is rarely happening in this first season because we established before or even launch church, that we're going to have that time. I have a very tangible thing to go back to every week that, like, you know, Pastor Noah is going to give me this time. He's created this space for me. And that means a lot for me and my trust that he's just given us me a space. And in those conversations, I think, just hearing how he wants to operate things and how I would operate things, we have a lot of alignment. Even though we come from different backgrounds, that was probably one of my reluctancies coming in, that maybe I was afraid my trust, wouldn't develop, is Noah comes from a very, like, Pentecostal, background, not very Pentecostal, but he just comes from a background where, I went to Dallas Baptist University, and I don't think I'm super tied to anything of that nature, but I also didn't grow up as a Christian and things like that. And so I wasn't sure, like, how we would operate just coming from different worlds. We knew we appreciated each other's worlds, but as, we started to just grind this thing out, one thing that built my trust a ton is Noah's a grinder. One thing I realized really quickly is, though I am the executive, Noah in this first season, he's really an executive too. The lead pastor doesn't get exempt from a bunch of different
That's right.
week to week.
That's right.
So when we were going up to, we were doing these monthly sprints, you know, he had an equal, like, sometimes more of a task load than me. And it was so encouraging to me to know that my pastor was willing to roll up his sleeves with me. And so that built a ton of trust that, I know that Noah's going to, if he delegates something to me, he thinks I'm either better at it or he doesn't have the time. It's not just, he doesn't want to do it. And so we don't have this relationship where, he's just offloading tasks to me. He's wearing a ton of hats, spinning a ton of plates, and I'm looking at where I can take things off of his plate. But, yeah, his work ethic has done a lot for my trust, for sure.
That's great. Well said. How have you all achieved alignment this year? So you just mentioned, Connor, you know, doing a weekly meeting, Monday mornings, Rocket Fuel, that book encourages, you know, a meeting between the visionary integrator roles, you know, pretty substantial meeting regularly. So obviously that's one answer. But I think maybe my question for you is, talk about each other. What have each of you done well to create alignment between the two of you? Let's maybe start there, and then I have a couple of more questions. So I'll let either of you go. But how have you sought and achieved alignment between the two of you?
See, I think we're always talking. Like, one of the extreme blessings of the last year and a half has been, I feel like Connor's become one of my best friends. And so we're not, like, always intentionally trying to, you know, achieve alignment, but we both love to read, you know? And so Connor might read a book and be like, "Hey, I was reading this and this really stood out to me. What do you think about this? Because of, you know, as he said, because your super Pentecostal background, how do you feel about this?" And so I think there's been a lot of alignment through talking through our differences. I think that's one thing, because when you talk through your differences with someone and you actually believe that they want to understand, they're not just trying to tell you, you know, why they believe what they believe or have their opinion. Yep. It creates natural alignment. I think the other thing is, as we've had wins, small wins and big wins at the church, that just spurs it on even more. You know what I mean? Like the idea of our vision statement is, we want to, our mission statement is, we want to create a community that unbelievers want to be a part of. And when we first came up with that, it was kind of like it's not enough. Like, there's not enough to that statement. There needs to be some caveats, whatever. And as we've gone on, it's been like, we've been meeting people who want to be a part of our community, who don't follow Jesus, who then come in, wow, and give their life to Jesus. And there's just been, with every little win, with every little conversation, we see more alignment happening. And there's clarifying conversation, sure. Like, we have to continue to have those, but I think alignment comes from the wins. And then I think it comes from sticking together through the hard things and through the more difficult conversations. We don't have a perfect relationship. We're getting better every day. Even on our team right now, our coordinators are incredible. But I think that there's alignment that's coming from some of the difficult things that we're navigating with our team. You know, this, when we're 6 months in, and so we're finally getting to the point where the honeymoon is starting to wear off. And I think it's actually been a really aligning season where it's like, hey, we have to not just be bought into like being nice to each other. We have to be bought into the vision. So let's like make sure that we all have it so that we can continue to grow as a church.
That's great. Well said. Connor?
Yeah, I think alignment with Noah has been easy in one sense, because he's really good at like just sharing his heart. Like I can get into kind of task mode sometimes, and my heart doesn't reveal itself as well. I think when Noah's meet with me or our team, he is usually talking about us protecting our time with the Lord, and that the enemy's going to try to work when God is moving. He probably mentions that more than anything else. So we get to see a leader who's protecting us right there a lot, which is really helpful for me. Just make sure my heart's aligned, and like I see how clear his heart is, and that helps me align a lot. On our Monday meetings, one thing that he's done that is super aligned, this is hard for me to admit because I used to kill this. And in this season, there's no way I can kill this, but I used to be a project manager. So timeline was like my thing. But right now, sometimes I'm like underneath the floorboards, like working on the gears. So Noah will do this thing on Mondays where I've caught his vision clearly, and he'll gracefully be like, okay, let's talk this timeline real quick. It's very different than mine. And even like this, even this Monday is like, this is Easter week. So I'm clearly just thinking of Easter, going into an off season with the way groups. And he's like, hey, let's talk about way groups real quick. And I'm like, why do we need to talk about that? We're about to close that baby down. And really quickly, he finds the things that I need to be thinking about this week that we need to do next week. It, basically, all of offseason, I have weekly things that are going to help drop the vision of what the offseason will prepare for Way Group Season 2. But he's done that a few times where that has aligned us so well. I have a visionary who doesn't only give me vision, but he gives me the timeline of that vision. And I've been in positions before where I didn't get that timeline. And that creates tension and misalignment all the time, where I was operating because I didn't get a timeline, and that didn't work for that visionary. And so I'm just really thankful he's very clear on that.
Noah, what is Connor doing, in your opinion, well, to then swivel and create alignment on the team? So the second chair is the swivel. We meet with our pastors, but then we turn around and we have to then lead and create alignment on the greater team. What are some things you're noticing, again, in these early days that he's doing well in that?
Yeah, so a tension that I have felt since we launched the church is that, especially in these early days, there's so much relational, like, desire that I feel like there's all these spinning plates. The plates are people, and I want to be with all of the people that are on our team. But as our church is growing, it's very common for a couple who's a high capacity leader at our church for me to only get to see them once a month or once every other month. And what Connor has done so well is helped identify those people that need a touch, you know, that need a dinner conversation, that need a coffee meeting. And he's really freed me up to where that's not just me. So it's, you know, we have our Monday meeting, and hey, I haven't noticed this couple has been at Team Huddle the last 2 weeks. Do you think that you could get coffee with that guy and just see how they're doing? And most of the time it's nothing, but just that little willingness for Connor to do that. And he's noticing people as well. That is so crucial with where we're at, because we're building trust with every single person that comes through our doors, not just our team right now. And there aren't many people outside of Connor and his wife that get the vision of our church the way that they do. And so to have them be the ones that are checking in on people and having those those dinner conversations, that's invaluable.
Well said. I love hearing your perspective. This is so interesting and how different this ends up feeling at different stages. So thank you guys for being willing to go here with us today. I'm going to let each of you kind of answer a last question for me really fast before we end this one today. And my question is simply this. I just thought this would be fun to hear. What is something each of you wish you knew going into this? Like what should someone have told you before you decided to jump in and plant a church in the way that you have? Just what would you say to that?
Something, I'll hop in. Something that a mentor of mine told me before we launched, I was asking him about time management and how he had such a healthy family doing all the things that he was doing. Very active guy with a bunch on his plate. And he just got quiet for a minute and he said two things. He said, number one, you can be as selfish as you want at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, okay, that's great. and then he said, the second thing he said was, it's not going to get easier. You've got to get better. And if I could go back, oof, I would tell myself that I need to get better quicker at focusing on the right things, focusing on the highest priority things and doubling down on those. It's a principle that everybody knows, but I don't think I took it serious enough, fast enough. And to this day, I'm trying to shovel off things that either I care too much about, I'm designating too much time to, so that I can get the best return on my time as possible for our church, for my family, for my friends. I think I thought I was good with time, and I would even say my friends probably thought I was good with time. But in this season of my life, I'm realizing there were some areas, yes, but there were a lot of areas that I was wasting time.
Well said. I love that. It's not going to get better. You've got to get better. I love it. Consider that stolen. Connor, you're up. Final word of the podcast today, sir.
Yeah, I'm just kind of receiving Pastor Noah what he said right now, because I wish somebody would have told me that too. But one of the things that I was thinking through, and I was talking to one of my mentors about recently, I wish somebody would have told me that there's not a very great report, very good statistics, very good dashboards for 6 months in to ministry, and just realizing that our leaders who we have raised up are going to be our best visibility to like what is going wrong, what is going well. I would have saved a bunch of time not trying to go out and find what report measures the health of the church or anything like that. And I think that there are some good ones out there, but as early as we are with the amount of data we have, the best thing is just for our leaders to be over communicating in this first season. And so that's something I do a biweekly stand up with our coordinators, and I'm trying to get that a little more through to them of like, if it has to be over communication or under communication, I want over communication this first season, because that gives Noah and I so much visibility. So I wish somebody would have told me that. I would have been pushing that day one, that type of communication.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Hey, love and respect you both. Thank you for not just your time today. Thank you for answering the call of God, each of you in your own capacity, and stepping out to do this. I know Nashville's going to be better. I know so many lives have been changed by your obedience. So thank you guys. We salute you today and appreciate hearing from you.
We love you, Brandon. Our church wouldn't be the same without you, man. Seriously, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us.
It is our honor to serve churches and leaders across the globe. We equip ministry leaders with the coaching, events, and resources needed to embrace their calling, get it right with their pastor, and lead in an uncommon way. Visit our website, leadingsecond.com, to learn how we can come alongside you as you lead from the middle, from the second chair, for the second chair.